I want to go to Psalms 23 right quick. And this is not really what I'm teaching on, but I just think we need to hear it. You know, when you think about it, God, Jesus did a complete work. So when we're looking at what he did for us, then we're not distressed, we're not all wrought up wondering what we're going to do. Right here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does a shepherd do?
Takes care of the sheep.
Right. He takes care of the sheep. Everything the sheep need, that shepherd's there. The shepherd's there to protect them from predators. He feeds them, waters them. Right here, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Still waters, not waves and wind and all of this mess. See, that's those still waters is inside. Yeah. He restoreth my soul. Well, what would cause your soul to not be where it should be? What you're looking at. What you're thinking about. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which I call Satan's spook house, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, provision is there even in the midst of the enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a place to be. Sometimes we just need a reminder when we get maybe sidetracked in our thinking and get to thinking about things and not thinking right, you know. This is where Jesus is leading us all the time. Coming aside. Thinking about what you're thinking about. Is what you're thinking about making you happy, hopeful, reassured? Is what you're thinking about making you upset, in despair? Just two ways of thinking. Let's not forget this. He's with us all the time. He's in us. And greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. Period. Period. All right. We're going to look at naming and mapping the powers tonight. This is part 9. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he called his 12 disciples, but then into his ministry somewhat, he appointed them as apostles, and he gave them instructions. We're going to look at that. This is Matthew chapter 10. There is a video that I watched. It's on Brad Barton's channel. And I'm going to send it to each one of y'all. And it is lengthy. It's an hour or so. But I think it's very important that you listen to it. Because it's going into what the Holy Spirit's been having me stress to you. And also, even on television, it came up about who is really Israel? Who is the real Israel? It comes out in this video and what's going on over in Israel right now and the operation and how things were sabotaged and how the Christian church has been hoodwinked. I mean, it brought it out so plainly. I thought, man, this is what I've been trying to say, trying to get through, that we are a spiritual house. Even Abraham talked about that, about, You know, he wasn't looking for a city that was built by hands, but one that was made by God, whose builder and maker is God. Everybody thinks that's that place over there, that little strip of land over there. No, it isn't. God wants an eternal life, you know, an eternal house, a spiritual house. That's what he dwells in. That's God's plan, not some piece of dirt out here that everybody's looking to everything, engaging everything over right here. Yeah, oh, you don't touch Israel. Oh, my God. You anti-Semitic. We have been hoodwinked. But anyway, do this for me. I'd appreciate it. You might have to do it in segments. There's going to be a few things in it. They're a little disturbing. One part, I just decided to listen to it but not look at it. It was a spirit cooking banquet. And it has a naked woman, but it's a cake. You know what I'm saying? So I just turned my head and I didn't watch that part, but I listened to what this man that's narrating it had to say, because he's explaining what's going on. And so, anyway, with that said, let's get on with it. Matthew chapter 10. I'll send y'all a link to that. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely have received, freely give. And he goes on, don't worry about your provision, all that. Well, what was he saying here? You just need to go everywhere and you just start casting out demons and healing the sick and doing all this stuff. Is that what he meant? No. He's saying you're going to have that power given to you, but you're going to have to be led by the Spirit to be able to execute that those things. Mapping is not by the flesh. You cannot do it by the flesh. As we've seen, you know, like the seven sons of Sceva I've brought up before. You can't do it in your flesh. It has to be done by the Spirit. All right? What was Jesus' mission? We're going to look here. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and with those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. You know, he was training them is what he was doing for when he left, right? Isn't that what happened? All right, Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the multitudes. So that was his commission, and his jurisdiction was the house of Israel. With one exception, the woman at the well. That day the Lord had him detour and go to Samaria. That's why she said, well, you know, y'all don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. What are you even doing here? And Jesus talked to her about the kingdom of God. And she believed on him that day. She said, this man told me everything I ever did. He's the Messiah. Yeah, okay. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So it started out in his own country, and then he said, but it's going to be worldwide. All right, Mark 1:14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The gospel is just it's got really good news, a good report. It's something that people are glad to hear. Well, healing's included in that. Like I said, I believe that healing is God's calling card. Someone's going to listen to you. If you lay hands on them and they get well, they're more inclined to listen to you than just words, right? They see the power of God in manifestation. All right, the Strong's here. Gospel here is to announce good news or evangelize. Just a good message, period. Yeah. So that's what he sent the apostles out to do, to evangelize. You know, the office of evangelists, they're the ones that, like I've heard, you blow in, blow up, and blow out, you know, but they're very dynamic in their delivery, and they bring the message of the gospel. That's what they do. That's their main gift. I mean, after apostles go in and they get, you know, the ground cleaned up, things run out, shouldn't be there, here comes the evangelist. And start sowing the good seed of the gospel. All right, the apostles also evangelized. Jesus told them clearly that he was sending them out among wolves. For it's naive to think that when you start tearing up Satan's playhouse that you might not get some flack, right? So Jesus kind of warned them about that. Go back to chapter 10, we'll pick up at that. Spiritual mapping is nothing new. It's just that nobody's taught it or used those terms. And it's really all part of it. All right, verse 16 here. He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Now, a lot of people that are truthers nowadays have found themselves in this situation. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. All right, we're just going to stop there. We don't need to get on to about the brother. Brother. Yeah. So persecution. Persecution is kind of part of it. Don't like it. Hate it, in fact. But, you know, it is what it is. Jesus warned them. Okay, Matthew 17. 14. Let's just start with 13 there. Am I right? I'm in the wrong place. Just a minute. 14. And when they were come to the multitude, they came to him, a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and off into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting." So they didn't evidently pull aside and look inside, did they? See, that's part of it. You have to be prayed up. We talked about dressed for success, having on the armor of God, praying in the Spirit, getting God's plan, letting God lead you. It sounds like to me they were just too busy. Maybe that morning they got up, woke up late, and they were behind already. So let's just go. That's what I take from this. Now, they made a doctrine out about fasting and praying. You know, we got to fast 30 days before we can even pray for somebody that's got a devil. I'm telling you, this is what we came into when we first started in the Spirit-filled walk. That was a big thing. Oh, you can't do that. You can't touch that devil stuff without praying and fasting. No, you just got to connect with the one that casts out the demon with his finger. You know what I'm saying? Right. In other words, you get the plan. You don't just do it. You don't just go out there and just lay hands on somebody and say, "We're just going to cast a demon out of them." Back when we first came into the Spirit-filled walk, there's a lot of weirdness about that area going on. I remember them. All right. Sounds like they didn't prepare, just plain and simple. The plan that we use to evangelize is God's plan. All of it's God's plan. None of it is just, let's just do this. This is a program that we come up with. No, we cannot do it on our own. We have to be led by the Spirit. All right, Luke 11:20. If we could ever just get ourselves out of the way, you know what I'm saying? We're so used to just doing stuff that we, you know, it's just old hat to us. All right, 11:20. "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." Yeah. So if Jesus had to cast out demons by the finger of God, then so do you. All right. Right here, finger, it just means God's finger. I mean, basically, it's what it is. Our focus here is not on the power or the authority over the demons in his name, but our priority is to help people. Bringing people into the kingdom is not just temporal. This is an eternal relationship. It's very important. You know, when you minister to somebody, you bring somebody into the kingdom, you've just snatched a soul out of hell, basically. All right, we've been given the keys of the kingdom. This is Matthew 16:19. I want you to get a picture. You remember them guys that wear this deal on their belt because they have so many keys? You know what I'm talking about? Think about that. We've been given the keys of the kingdom and we have all these keys on our belt. But we have to say, "Okay, Lord, what key this time? What's the key here? There's somebody all locked up. You know, we need to get that bondage off of them. What do we say? What do we do?" We've been given all the keys, but that don't mean we just use them all. Well, if that don't work, let's try this one. Or if that doesn't work, let's try that one. Have you ever done that? You don't know what key goes to what, so you're in there trying to open something with all these keys that you know where they come from. They've been around for years. All right. Let me read it to you. 16:19. "And I will give unto thee the keys." So there's more than one. "Keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Is that lock? "What thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Is that open? Open or close. All right, that's what a key does. opens and closes. All right. This is where preparation comes in. If we are prayed up, we will have the Holy Spirit's help when we come across a situation. You know, we may not get anything praying, but we will be hooked up. So when we go forward, he can instantly just say, well, do this or do that. That's the way Jesus operated. He'd spend all night in prayer or however, and then wherever he came across somebody, the Lord would give him what to do. Because he said he didn't do independent works or even say independent words. It was what his Father said to say and his Father said to do is what he did. And it always worked, didn't it? Just like with this child that had a demon. And the disciples couldn't cast it out. But, Jesus is kind of like, how long am I going to be with you, you know? When are you going to finally get it? That's what he was saying. It's like he's a little put out with them. Now, I told you what you needed to do. All right. All right, he didn't move independently. Now, go to Mark chapter 1. All right, let's just pick up with verse 9 here. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, the Spirit like a dove descending upon him, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Okay, then what happened? When he came out of the wilderness, what happened? It says he came out with the Holy Ghost and with power. That's Luke, over there in Luke. Well, let's just look at Luke. Probably should have read Luke's account. And Jesus, verse 1, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. So he's tempted. The devil's trying to tempt him to do what? Step out in his flesh. Step out in his flesh. Right there. You wonder why the Lord's had you in the place he's had. He's trying to teach you to not step out independently of him. All right, 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. That's when his ministry began. Okay, Matthew 7. Good one. I read this a lot during my TV teaching this week. 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So you hear what God says and you do it? A success. If you just do it yourself, sand. Sinking sand. Right? All right. Luke 13. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed. He just used a key, didn't he? From thine infirmities. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, he also got flack for it. He said, this daughter of Abraham, you know what? Shouldn't she be loosed on the Sabbath day? Nobody in the temple did anything to help her. All right. The keys are used at specific times for specific purposes. They are not self-instigated. Now, get that through your head. They are not self-instigated. They're to be led by the Spirit. Well, I bind this and I bind that and all that. You know, you know what we've done all these years? A lot of us. I'm guilty. We said we could do it, but we didn't realize this is an inside work. This is a spiritual house. This, we're recruiting people to come into the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, whether you want to realize it or not. We've got to wait on the Holy Spirit to bind, to loose. And He'll tell us what to do if we will ask Him. The thing is, we just have to wait long enough, or maybe He doesn't tell you right off. I've just recently asked the Lord about wisdom about several things, and He's answered me on several of them, not all of them, but some of them. And I didn't get it the first day. I said, Lord, you know, you don't have to tell me if you don't want to, but I'd sure appreciate it if you would. So I can understand more fully how I can walk better in my walk, not be so upset about things sometimes in certain areas. You know, and what would you have me do about this? Sometimes it's the way you approach Him, you know. Because He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to show us what to do. And that's what it's all about. It's all inside. It's all about the inside walk. All right. Jesus said we would. Wait a minute. Let me go over to Matthew 10:1. What did I read to you? Matthew 10:1. Because I wrote a statement here. I'm going, now what did I say? All right. Oh. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Jesus said we could do that. We could do that. But they're spiritual keys. They're not natural keys. You know, it'd be real easy in the natural because we're geared in that. We've lived that way our whole life. It'd be real easy that way. But that's why I think a lot of people don't catch a hold of faith. They don't realize that we're talking about spiritual here. You know, they're expecting something to just appear immediately because they're used to just having it right there. And it doesn't come that way in the Spirit. Now, it begins there. It's kind of like sickness and disease. Yesterday, Lord led me in that area to talk about Jesus really took all our infirmities. He really did. He took it all. So what am I dealing with here? What's coming against me here? Lies, right? If it says Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses, then what are we to do with that? Then what's coming against us? Lies. That's one of the questions I asked the Lord about a certain area of my body. He said, remember back at that department store when you had that revelation from me? There you go. You know, something He said to me while I was standing there. That's what He took me back to. And then I thought, okay, I get it now. I understand. See, and that way you're not so upset all the time. What's going on? I don't know what to do. Well, He's there to help you. I remember one time knowing someone, I didn't know this person real well. I knew them, but they were closer to really another friend of mine. And they had a problem in their family. And me not even knowing the situation, when the Lord just showed me in the Spirit a pile of knots. And I remember, well, you know, it talks about knotty problems. You know, I think there's a scripture that says that, kind of says that. And I remember just relaying to this lady through my friend there that if, this is how the Lord put it, tell them if they will walk in love in this situation that I'll untie every knot He said, like you're facing a pile of knots. Like, you know, Christmas vacation, you know, the big thing of lights. The big, big knot, you know. And that kid just looks at him like, really? This year? You mean this season? You want this knot undone? But if you'd walk in love, then the Lord would untie every knot. The Lord has a solution for everything. He is the solver of knotty problems, right? We all have had them, and they're all mysteries. We've been talking about the mysteries that God has, and they're disclosed, you know, at times when we ask Him for wisdom. I said, Lord, you said in James that you would not hold it back, James 1:5. If I ask you for wisdom, you said you would give it to me, and you wouldn't hold it back from me, and you would give it to me liberally. So He wants to help you solve your knotty problems and any problem that you have. But He might not do it like Brother Hagin used to say on Saturday night. You know, it might have to wait a few days. You might have to pray some. I would stay in an attitude of gratitude and start talking to the Lord about how great He is and how wonderful He is and how He takes care of us and how He just loves us so much. And there's nobody like You, Lord. He kind of likes that. Kind of like I said, He inhabits the praises of His people. He shows up on their behalf. And when He shows up, the devil goes. Problem goes. All right, we have keys. These are spiritual keys. All right, Luke chapter 9. Then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Same thing as we read in Matthew. All right, Luke 10:19. Y'all know this one. This is a... Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by enemy shall hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We cannot do anything in our flesh. There's no profit in it. It's not. The Spirit, however, knows all things, and when we tap into His wisdom, He imparts that wisdom to us to deal with the situation at hand. Did Jesus do what He did the same in every instance? He followed the Spirit. It wasn't just one size fits all. Well, this looks like a bind and loosen one to me. How about you? You know, is that what it looks like to you? Well, let's just use that. No, He didn't do that. Well, we did it this way in Nazareth before, or wherever before, so we, you know, it's kind of similar. I guess we'll just try the same thing, see if it works. No, that's not what we do. We have to have fresh instructions, kind of like David and the mulberry trees. You know, he asked the Lord about the Philistines. He said, yeah, go fight them. Go on up and you'll win. Next time, he asked the Lord again, inquired the Lord again. The Lord said, nah, this time, go over there by the mulberry, or go over there, and when you hear the rustling in the mulberry trees or whatever it was, the sound in the mulberry trees. See, He took him a different route. He could have said, well, we killed one Philistine this way, so we got to kill them all that way. God has a different plan. It may be different every time. Probably will be. All right. Mark chapter 5. If you really get down to it, spiritual mapping is just taking the gospel, you know it? It's taking the gospel. That's what evangelism is. All right, 5:1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs cutting, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he had said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? Do you know anywhere else in Scripture except for Luke? I don't know if this is the same account or another account, but he asked him his name. This demon, what is your name? Now some people tread in there and they're trying to get the name. I've seen some of this stuff on film where they're doing deliverance. And they're goading that thing. And I'm just going, that bothers me. Yeah. What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, and that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place and into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. My point here is we're so used to blabbing it and grabbing it. Yeah. You know, we're in this for results, right? That should be the goal, God's results. Hearing from God and doing it God's way, we will see results. All right. I say we would be better to say nothing than if the Lord doesn't give us nothing, we don't do anything, we don't say anything, than to just do a bunch of stuff, just a bunch of religious stuff. We've seen a lot of that in churches over the years, just a bunch of stuff. No power. All right, let's see here. Just one more scripture and we're going to close here. John 6:63 says, It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.